The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And we begin with a prayer. Father in heaven, the season of watching, waiting, and preparation has begun. Thank you for your saints who have gathered here to worship your holy name. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in Jesus' name. Amen. Timing is everything. Well, if not everything, at least almost everything. An Italian priest, Giovanni Caselli, developed the first commercial fax system between Paris and Lyon in 1865. He called his mysterious invention the pantelegraph, but nobody got it, and nobody used it. Caselli was simply too far ahead of his time. So the pantelegraph sat about as an unused idea for the next century, while it waited for the world to catch up. And that can still happen today as well. Did you know that researchers at Xerox Corporation developed the computer mouse a full 15 years too soon? For a decade and a half, the mouse sat on the shelf waiting for a market, and finally, through the wizardry of Apple computers, the mouse concept became viable and indeed an integral part of our computing today. The same mouse is being used by countless kids around the world. Well, Jesus had the second greatest sense of timing ever known. He knew when to reveal certain things and when not to. His out-of-sync disciples often chafed at the idea that they needed to know more. They wanted to understand what he was trying to teach them, to see more, to experience more, to understand more. But Jesus steadfastly kept to God's timetable, saying, "My time is not yet come." In fact, a great sense of timing was really one of the keys to Jesus' ministry. He knew when to step forward and lead a crowd. He knew when it was time to withdraw and slip away unnoticed. He knew there were times to fast and times to feast, and he kept both of those according to his own schedule. Jesus knew when there were times that he had to protect and conserve his energies, and there were times when he was called on to expend even his reserves on the crowds of needy followers surrounding him. Jesus calls on all of us today to read the signs of the times, and to know the times we inhabit, that we might live fully in the time God has chosen us to live. In other words, God wants us all to be on time. Now, it would serve us well to remember something else. The Gospels reveal that Jesus was not the only one with a keen sense of timing. The devil was equally canny in discerning the most advantageous time for his work. When Satan failed to defeat Jesus in the desert, scriptures tell us he swiftly withdrew, waiting until an opportune time. And you know that opportune time was grasped again at night when Jesus was at the Mount of Olives. Jesus' sense of timing was superb, but as I said earlier, it's only worthy of second place. Matthew's text reveals that only the Father knows the ultimate timetable lying behind our universe. It was God who orchestrated the timing of the Messiah's humble birth to this seemingly insignificant parents in an unremarkable tiny village. But in the divine plan, it was the perfect time, the perfect place, in the perfect circumstances. It was God's sense of timing that divided Jesus' earthly life into 30 years of preparation for 3 years of public ministry. It was God's sense of timing that kept Jesus always moving, putting him in the midst of the people instead of requiring people to come to him. We can't hope to fully understand God's sense of timing if neither the angels of heaven nor the Son are privy to the divine schedule of events. It's certain that no human being is likely to get that information. And Jesus' words to his disciples in today's gospel lesson urge them not to worry about God's sense of timing, but to be instead concerned about their own state of readiness. Keep watch, stay awake, be prepared. That's what Jesus' counsel is, not to worry or stew or fret about what you cannot understand. We've talked about this at the Bible study group this morning beginning at 8:30. And we talked about what all of this means, to be prepared, to live our daily lives as it could be the day, to do all of the things that we normally do, to cultivate our spiritual life and to care for the people around us on a daily basis through ministries like Room in the Inn and other ways that this congregation reaches out to people. My friends here at First, God's timing and plan will prevail in this your time of transition. But we must continue to work as if we know it's tomorrow and the day is coming for us to keep watch and to keep ready. You know, it strikes me that the evolution of the telephone demonstrates just how well we have enabled ourselves to be prepared for events in our lives. It used to be if you were waiting for an important phone call, you had little choice but to sit by your phone all day waiting for it to ring, right? Then came call forwarding, and you could program your phone to ring your anticipated call through to a different number. So now you could be in either of two places and still get your call. With the advent of the cordless phone, still more freedom of place was possible. Now you could go outside and finish weeding the flower bed and still not miss that call that you were waiting for. Finally, with the proliferation of cell phones today, you can go virtually anywhere and do virtually anything and still not miss that phone call. Any place can become every place. Jesus cites some folks as examples in today's text, and they were the cellular connected Christians of their age, the on-time man working in the field and the on-time woman grinding grain at the mill looks just like their unprepared counterparts, and yet they were busy laboring in their daily tasks, you see, apparently wholly focused on the jobs they were doing, but they had a cellular faith connection to the Messiah, and when the Messiah called, they received the message and gladly took the invitation. And that's the Greek behind the word taken, is a word that really means received. And so these were received in faith in the place of God's eternal kingdom. So, to be an on-time cellular Christian today does not rely on any pricey piece of Apple technologies. The cells that must keep us attuned to Christ's frequency must be every cell of our bodies. If our bodies can become receivers open to the Spirit working within us, if our souls can amplify the signals we pick up and transmit them to all who come into contact with us, then we have become Christians who are living timely lives. Every Christmas, the time is ripe for meeting Christ anew. So, don't fall asleep. Keep watch for His presence among us. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding, now keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'll invite you to stand as you are able, and we'll sing our next hymn.